Sacrosanctus Domine. Pecca ignoviunt. Jesus Christus Domine.
Other Bob Maguire, how are you, sir?
No good, I overworked. I've had an apparition of Mary.
Which one?
Mary of Emerald Hill.
Not Mary from Peter, Paul and Mary?
No. She's saying, don't move from this patch, stay where you are. And how am I going to hand that on to the Archbishop?
When's the date of your imminent execution?
The denouement? 1/2/12.
That's not
which is also the end of the world as far as the Mayans are concerned.
Well, we can understand why now. All the prophecies are lining up.
Exactly. We know why it's all focusing on the same denouement.
Now, listen, before we...
Now, listen, what can I do?
What can you do about what?
Anything. You're ringing me up.
Well, yeah, I am ringing you up. And I've got some questions from the people on the Twitters, but before...
Oh, that's Dr. Riley. You've changed your voice, darling. It's become deeper and more... whatever the word is.
You didn't realise it, me. You just thought it was some random person calling.
You've dropped a register, comrade. You've dropped a register.
This is my radio voice, Bob.
Yeah, you've dropped it. She's gone down by about an octave.
It's all the cigars I've been smoking since I moved up here.
Well, I've given them up. No grog, smoking, sex, nothing.
Really?
Nothing.
No sex for you?
No, I sit here before you as almost... Yeah, I've slipped almost into, I would think, the lotus position.
Into a coma.
Yeah. No, in the other opposite end, you see, you people keep thinking it's a coma if you give all these things up. I follow the Buddha, who says this is how you will slip into whatever it's called. The
Nirvana.
What is it called? Yes!
Uh-huh.
See what I mean?
How's that working out for
you? That's how close it is to you, where it's at the other end of the phone. Anyhow, listen, we better get on with this because somebody's... Yeah, but I am worn out with all this. This is going... What's today? October? No, it's September. I'm trying to work out ways and means. You see, if we're all still available for conspiratory, if it's a conspiracy, Cackleberry seems to be off the air. And who was that man? Igor or somebody? Remember the old days when we were plotting and planning here? I don't know how long ago that was.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I do remember.
Long time.
Yes.
Ago, was yeah, was it? Not 10.
So,
no, I don't think it's 10.
What are you going to do post 1/2/12? Do you get a pension?
Well, I got. Yeah, I'm a pensioner already, of course.
Do you get a pension from Mother Church, though?
Nah. Oh, Mother Church is making Mother Church noises. See, there are two churches, as you know. There's the one that masquerades. In fact, is a corporation, and the other one is Mother Church, who is intangible. The corporation is making noises like, look, we're only interested in your welfare, and we must make sure that you are housed. And off they go on a little fantasy of their own, and I keep saying to them, girls and boys, don't worry too much about where I'm going to live, and you'll have to pay, and I have to be given... living alone. Look, I'm not really interested. All I want to do is be left alone.
Isn't that just
but
their...
They, keep
they need to pay you the hush money, don't they?
No, well, we're not hushed. The book comes out in October.
The book?
The bloody book called the Postie and the Priest.
What's the book about?
Oh, the Postie sat here for 3 years asking me questions. And listening to me, he was an amateur writer, and the postie, real live bloody postie, used to park his bike out the front, and then come in here and sit here for an hour, probably government time. Now he's ended up with a bloody book called The Postie and the Priest, A View from His Letterbox, and off it goes, and I've looked through it and I thought, well, Christ, this is not going to do me much good. Because I must have, he got me in the same year as I was stabbed in the back by the Archbishop, you see. Same year, so I must have used it as therapy. He might have been godsent, because I wouldn't have spoken to a bloody therapist. So it's in the book, you know, the Archbishop came with the letter, the Archbishop this, the Archbishop put the gun on the desk and said, I think you should take the honourable way out, and all of this kind of stuff. So it's all... Anyway, he told me yesterday, he said he's got a publisher and it might come out. That's the same time that I thought the social networking probably also helped, because I was able to, as I have this morning almost, let the cat out of the bag, put little things into the ether, which one can't, in fact, put into the telephone.
Well, I wanted to ask you about this, because I remember getting you started on the whole, Twitter thing many years ago.
You can claim. I haven't risen to the heights that you have.
Are you kidding me?
I mean,
you have 45,000 followers on Twitter, Bob.
Yeah, but believe me, comrades, I am N-A-I-V-E, whatever you spell, naive. I really still don't know whether that's a good number or a bad number or what it is.
That's a pretty good number. You know, I reckon 3AW probably has legitimately about 10,000 listeners.
No, I can't understand that, therefore. I can't. In other words, technologically, maybe somebody's pushed a button where I have got 45,472, I see on the screen here, followers. Who, I don't know, maybe somebody just pushed a button, they all went to one side and turned up as bloody followers. Why am I only following 348?
Well, that was going to be my second question. Why are you only following 348?
Well, I don't understand the following-follower ratio, because this is in the hands of... This was in the hands of Cackleberry, I think. See, I've never monitored it, and now I'm copying it to Cameron Riley, because I think my websites, for example... they're not defunct, but they're not doing what I know that you lot expect websites to do. So you're going to tell me that I should, in fact, hand the rotten thing in a package over to Cackleberry or somebody, pay them to clean up the goddamned IT component of my foundation, isn't it? I can't do... I don't think so. I just do me Twitter.
Yeah.
I just do me Twitter. Twitter allegedly goes to Facebook. But I suspect that on Facebook people are asking questions and say, please pray for my auntie. And the person who was monitoring the Facebook seems to have disappeared. So I may have a lot of people out there who say, oh, he's a bastard because he hasn't acknowledged my request on Facebook. Now, if I knew they were there, I would acknowledge them. But see, this is where I need a geek. Now, when we started off in the old days, as you know better than anybody else, we never had a penny to bloody scratch ourselves with.
And now? Do you have pennies?
Well, I think now we could, and we ought maybe. Because we owe it to our followers, and we owe it to our supporters to give them good service. Now, I keep reading all your things and everybody else's things that says... reminds me that I am really a babe in the IT woods, because you people are fussing over bloody apps. And I heard somewhere this morning, maybe it was on the telly, that the iPhone 5 is coming out before Christmas.
October 4, Al Gore says.
All right. So now I'm listening about iPod 5. I'm barely up to iPod 1. And then somebody was rattling on. I thought, now 5, does that mean there's 4 others? He said, iPod 4 may be coming out in advance of iPod. I thought, why are they calling it 5 when there's not 2, 3, and 4?
No, there were 2, 3, and 4.
Well, he muttered something about this 4. Cheaper, makes it accessible to more people. See, I'm lost in all that, the fog.
Yeah. But nonetheless, you have 45,000 followers on Twitter, which is not bad for an old bloke who doesn't know anything about it.
But I apologise to those 300 and whatever it is, 48, because I'd hate to think that unconsciously, but probably even almost culpably now, that you've raised the bloody issue, God damn it, is that I some people out there might be saying, well, shit, why doesn't he follow me? I'm following him. Should I have 45,472 people I'm following?
Well, not necessarily. Like, big celebrities like you don't tend to follow everybody that's following them, Bob.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be doing it because I don't intend to follow them. I'm not doing it simply because I left it to a geek.
Well, we'll have a talk
about it. Now, the geek may have fallen... Well, let's think about it later on because it's boring. But, I mean, it's the same thing when I talk to Safran about this. He says, Bob, for God's sake, shut up. Don't talk to me about technology. Meaning, I presume, that he doesn't. He's not saying I don't know anything about it. What he's saying is he does know. He knows something about it and I don't. Therefore, would you please shut up? See what I mean?
Are you still doing your show with Safran?
No, because he's in Mrs. Bloody Sippy.
He's still over in the US? What's he doing over
there? He's been in Mrs. Bloody Sippy doing something about Truman Capote in cold blood.
Oh, very nice.
For bloody weeks. But I think he's coming back mid-Ox, in which case, if I'm still competent, whatever about continent, I'd be available to go back on the wireless before I lose it.
Is that your post-retirement career strategy, do more media?
I'm not going to retire. I can be retired. You see, it can be a verb. I am retiring you. But he can only retire me out of this place. He can't retire me out of, quote, priesthood, unquote. Because that's some ethereal category over which he hasn't got that much control. In fact, there's a woman from Germany here this week, somewhere in Melbourne, who claims she's a bishop ordained by a fair dinkum, fully certified, so to speak, bishop. And she travels the world and keeps saying, look, I'm a Roman Catholic and I don't give a rat's ass what they say. Not a ratzinger, but a rat's ass. What they say about... you can't have women priests, you can't have... Because I'm a Catholic, she said, and they can say what they like. So these are interesting times, comrade. I heard somebody in the Catholic News Department, which is always a thrilling department, saying that the Pope's in Berlin. And he has admitted that he understands why people leave the church. Partly, I think, behind his hand, he says, because of the seduction of rampant secularism. But also, he'd almost admit that it was our fault, you see. And then I'm just tweeted something about, well, why don't you talk to some of your cardinals, one of whom seems to be sledging us in Australia as being cafeteria Catholics, as he's calling them.
Mm.
He's the authentic Catholic Church. We are apparently the cafeteria Catholic Church who pick and choose the bits that suit us.
And unfortunately, too much of the time, the bits that you choose are little boys' genitalia.
Well, that we don't choose that, you see, because cafeteria Catholics wouldn't be involved in any of that.
No. Which Catholics are they?
The authentic Catholics.
They're the real...
Oh, they're the ordinary bogan Catholics who, like me, around the traps, who just get on with the business of putting other people first, and because we believe the founder of the firm was an expert in self, not mutilation or self-abuse or any of that. Self...
Immolation?
Sacrifice.
Oh, self-sacrifice. Well, I wasn't going to get to this till later, but now that we're in...
No, righto.
Philadelphia.
First and foremost.
Philadelphia. You've been following on what's going on with the Catholic Church in Philadelphia?
No, darling, no. I've got enough trouble in Adelaide.
Rolling Stone magazine have just done a major story on the scandal in Philadelphia.
What is it? What is it?
Five very senior priests, including, I think, a cardinal over there, up on child sexual abuse, either being the direct participants or covering up.
When? When's all this?
It's happening now. There were,
as we speak?
As we speak, three of the priests are accused of passing around a fifth-grade altar boy.
Yes, well, they should all be arrested and flogged and hung.
The three men raped and sodomised the 10-year-old, sometimes making him perform strip teases and getting him drunk on sacramental wine after Mass.
This is becoming voyeuristic, Cameron.
But
this is becoming pornographic.
The big part of the story is how, you know, the big boss over there was covering it all up and moving people around. How long have you been in South Melbourne now?
Since 73, comrade.
Yes, when people ask me, you know, what about Father Bob? Has he ever done anything nasty to little kids?
Who knows?
He's been in the same spot for 40 years, so that's probably
a good
sign.
One of the reasons he has stayed in the same spot, so that he can be open to scrutiny.
They haven't had to move you around five times in the last
40
years.
They wouldn't be. Well, according to your theory, we don't move people around. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, they move them around. Yeah. But here's something I want to ask you. This report says... Has my microphone started playing up?
That's nice.
Every Catholic diocese has secret archive files. It's mandated by canon law as a repository for complaints against priests so scandalous that they must be kept out of the regular personnel files. Know about that?
Is that Dan Brown I'm talking to? Go on. I don't know. That I can't even get my own personal file off my headquarters.
Well, in Philadelphia, when they opened up these secret archive files, prosecutors were stunned to find thousands of documents that detailed the hundreds of victims who had allegedly been abused by 169 priests.
Yeah. Over 100 years or what?
It doesn't say.
It might be 100 years.
Doesn't say.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, to me, that's now, look, my personal experience is Mickey Mouse, but my inability even to get from my headquarters my own personal file, because I was interested to see what they had on their file that made them so determined to pursue me to a sticky end. And I was given the answer that, in fact, no. You can't have your personal... I said, what about freedom
FOI?
Of information?
Yeah.
And they said, no, we're not covered by freedom of information.
No, we're the church.
You see? Well, there must be a category in law that says we're not covered.
Yeah,
so I was disappointed because I said there's something got up their nose about me, because for 30 years of my 40, I was all right with headquarters, but for 10 years I've gone off like a bottle of stale milk. And I'm saying to myself, well, geez, there must have a file that says in it, written by somebody somewhere, that this bloke is a bloody cafeteria Catholic and must be eradicated at all costs.
What year did you start doing the show with Saffron?
It would just be the general demeanour. I know what's going on because I happen to find a thing that Cardinal Pell... A speech he made in Cork in Ireland in July this year, which was almost a manifesto of what drives George Pell to try to purify the Australian Church, which explained a hell of a lot. And I mean, I was almost grateful to him that he in fact has put his thoughts on paper, and that's a kind of a crusade to purge the Church of the cafeteria Catholics. Now, part of that, I presume, that comes from having a sense that the Roman Catholic Church is exclusive, which we thought we'd given up in the 60s and became inclusive. But she's gone back again to being the exclusive brethren. Now, as part of that would be secrecy, of course. And part of that would be maybe these, what are you referring to them as, hidden archives?
Secret
but that's
archives.
One reason why in the state of Victoria they're going to ask the Attorney General to please have an independent inquiry into the Melbourne Diocese's handling of sexual abuse.
Are you in support of that?
Oh, well, I'm in support of what do you call it, transparency.
Let me ask you about this. Again, according to Rolling
Stone...
See,
I mean, commercial in confidence, I understand commercial in confidence.
Right.
I understand they put stamps on things and say, well, we raise a question of, say, excuse me, you're great, yes. Could you tell us with what businesses, with what corporations, the Roman Catholic Trust Corporation has invested its money? In case they had invested in gun running or something. No, sorry, we can't answer that question because it's commercial in confidence. Now, I don't know, there are other confidences, I presume, in law, with lawyers. But, geez, I can't see that an institution like a church, which is not supposed to be a business, why it wouldn't make itself so bloody transparent that you can see through the holes in the hands and the feet.
It's the biggest and oldest business there is, mate.
No, prostitution. Now, don't be rude.
In 1972, a landmark study called the Catholic Priest in the United States Psychological Investigations found that three-fourths of all American priests were psychologically and emotionally underdeveloped or even maldeveloped.
They came in as teenagers.
The attitudes of these grown men towards sex, the study concluded, were on par with those of teenagers or even preteens.
Exactly. Thank you.
That's what Father Peter Kennedy, remember him, my mate up here in Brizzy?
Yes, up in South Brisbane.
That's what he said to me.
My mate too, don't forget.
Yeah, I know he's your mate too, yes.
We don't follow the same modus operandi, but...
Yeah. He was telling me, you go into seminary when you're a young fella, and by the time you wake up to what's going on, the damage is done.
Mm. Well, you go into Duntroon as a young fellow, and you wake up before it's too late that you're taking pictures of other recruits while they're having showers. You're using your famous iPhone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the Catholic Church only, it's all institutions. We happen to be around for 2,000 corrupt years.
Mm. So let me ask you some questions from Twitter, Bob, before we get too long on. Ian Kath, friend of mine up here in Brisbane, asks, how have Father Bob's opinions changed on religion and church over his long life?
Easy. Easy. For the first 20 years, Catholic Church, my opinion was the Catholic Church was exclusive, so that people were married in the sacristy instead of in the church when they, if they married someone who wasn't a Catholic, all that stuff. You weren't allowed to go into Protestant church, all that. So we were the exclusive brethren for my first 20 years. And then, thank God, for maybe 30 years, we were the inclusive brethren because we were open to all and we were smiling and we were investing ourselves in secular society to the extent that they discovered that some of us were pedophiles. But at least we were open to all. Now, lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, what am I up to there? I'm up to about 50 or 60 years. The last 25 years, unfortunately, I've witnessed the Roman Catholic Church once again becoming the exclusive brethren. And it's there are symptoms everywhere, but I didn't see any plan about we will reseal the tomb. We will roll the stone back in front of the tomb so that Jesus is locked in. See, the church has locked Jesus into the tomb again. He was out for about 30 years. Now, that's what I've discovered. That's the overall picture. I know it sounds garbled and mythological and apocryphal. And what's the word? Apocalyptic. All of those things. That's what I've noticed. And it's very sad for me because I saw us doing marvellous things for 30 bloody years. And because we were in the world. We were told that when I was young, the church said, beware of the world. And even part of that was, I noticed down here in Melbourne, let us go to the university by all means, but beware, you'll be corrupted. So we will have Catholic university colleges. And the other churches did the same. They had the Anglican University College and they had the Protestant University. Why? Because we know we have to be part of secular society and the university, but we also know that we're vulnerable to intellectual toxins. Now, we knew that when Vatican II came along in 1900 and whatever it was, 50 or 60 or something, Vatican II said, hey, cut that out. Cut that out, it said.
They
That's
said,
wrong.
Get out there, be part of the
get
world.
Get out.
Mm.
Get out, get out, get
Interact
out.
Interact with the
people. And then, of course, once you're out, comrade, people, you've got a full and frank... you're under scrutiny. So the weaker comrades, in fact, were discovered. You see, the previous model would have locked them all up within and the records within and themselves would have been, as you say, moved around. And then by the time Vatican II came and said, hey, listen, we have to be answerable to secular society. We're not bigger than secular society. We're only part of it. Because previously, the previous model said, hey, secular society is only a part of the, of Christendom. So, I mean, we're going through an evolution. And I think the best is yet to come for us. We'll have to suffer that, by God. Look at Father Bob. com.au, because I just put a blog up. That's the words of a sermon given in Warrnambool, Victoria, only I think a couple of weeks ago, where the parish priest must have felt that moved to contrition. That's not bad. It's not a bad lyrical exposition of how we're buggered, so to speak. And how we feel, because it's awful. I reckon part of my dilemma of being a Roman Catholic priest and being a social activist is you've got this, what do you call it, this residue of, well, maybe he's one of them, maybe, you know. And that's you're wearing that like a monkey on your back.
Mm.
And I'm thick-skinned. But I'm just thinking that lots of guys who never became social activists, but they stayed as priests in parishes and they've never sinned, but they must feel bloody awful because, you know, they don't express things. They don't wear their personalities on their sleeves. Therefore, they keep it all to themselves. And this thing that I put it up there at risk because it's a bit pious around the edges. But the guts of it is, you ready to go? It's all right, comrade. It's one of the long, you know, the boy who's been around for...
Yeah.
Well, he's a man.
Yep.
He's here with his little dog, his little avatar.
All right, let me run through some quick questions for you, Bob.
I've got to take him to the clinic, yes.
Okay, these are some from Twitter, some from me. Can Do Campbell on Twitter, that's a fake Twitter account for our next premier, asks, what do you think about people like Jim Wallace trying to be the sole voice of Christians in Australia?
Yeah, Jimmy. Well, he smiles. I saw him on Monday night on Q&A.
Well, there's that.
He smiles. I like Jimmy Wallace as a soldier. So he's Special Air Services. But I mean, you'll say, what's that got to do with? Well, I'm saying that you've got to know maybe the whole personality. Yeah, of course he's caught short because he's fundamentalist Christian and evangelical, I would think, Christian, and therefore hardliner. And therefore, and he speaks he's able to because of his position of security within secular Australia, being a good soldier. They're lucky that Australian Christian lobby because they've got a bloke who, you know, like any other service person these days who's risen to the rank, high rank, the Aussies are being seduced to take their word as being much more weighty than lots of other people in academics even. You know, it's the same with Julia and Tim under the flag.
I was going to ask you about that. What do you think about the flag?
Well, I'm just saying that it's. I think it's irreverent, but it's not disrespectful.
Because?
Well, the flag covers a multitude of sins. But I don't want to get into it, you see, because the other team's much more powerful than my lobby, because it's the patriotism. The nationalism, sorry. I would say that the flag and Tim and Julia is like patriotic because it's not saying anything bad. It's not fatal to anybody, but it could be. It depends what your taste is. You see, satire.
Hmm.
But I would say that if it was, you know, the flag used for nationalist purposes to keep asylum seekers. I mean, what's more disgraceful? The flag flying over the boats that intercept asylum seekers or the flag that flies over Julia and Tim?
And it wasn't Julia and Tim. It was fake Julia
well,
and Tim.
Well, those two. Yes.
I want to ask you about the asylum seekers. I mean, personally, I'm just absolutely disgusted by everything
well,
that's
going on.
Well,
we're just talking about them now, aren't we? Hearing it on the thing this morning. We'll put it off now for a few more weeks. I'm saying, well, excuse me, what are the bloody asylum seekers? We're just going to add a few more weeks to their detention.
Mm.
See, it's just stiff cheddar. That's what I'm saying on Twitter this morning. Would the clicktivists mind turning into real activists? The clicktivists.
What's a clicktivist?
Everybody is clicking. Well, the clicktivists. Everybody is using the mouse to go clicking away and typing away and saying all kinds of revolutionary things in cyberspace. But I mean, Jesus, if the barricades were up and I was up on the barricades, I think I'd be waiting for a bloody long time before I was joined by many others. In reality, so you can go clicking away about asylum seekers, but what are we doing about it?
Do you think that clicking and is building awareness, which is the first step to political change?
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's magnificent.
Yeah.
It's magnificent. See, I'd be better off with all the clicktivists from Twitter saying, keep Bob on the job.
That's the slogan?
Yeah, a clicktivist campaign, than I would be with 40 staunch parishioners standing at the front of the church in the fog one morning, as we were two years ago, and even Billy Slater from Storm joined us. But see, that's heroic, and it's iconic. But see, it's only the comrades around the world who have clicktivated themselves into saving Egypt and Libya, maybe, and Burma, maybe, and all kinds of other places. It's tremendous. I mean, that's an evolutionary leap.
Have you got a
what do you call it? The cloud, is it?
Into the cloud. Have you got a Keep Bob on the Job T-shirt yet?
No,
we should.
No,
we have no. to do that. We have.
I'm,
to
I'm,
do
no,
that.
No, no, no. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, no. I want that T-shirt. My old mate and TPN podcaster Raj Dirt down in Melbourne says, you need to plug the eBay auction.
Yes, I don't know what to do about the bloody eBay auction because I just know there's only about 17 bids. It's a bloody marvellous thing
that's
hanging up in...
This is for the Lego sculpture. Explain to people what
there's 170,000 pieces, and they can get it by looking at... Can't they get it by looking... They can look at it on Father Bob Maguire Foundation. They can press a button and bid. But PayPal's giving me a hard time. But I think they've solved that for the purposes of this auction. PayPal's done one of those random security checks.
Right.
And I even had a woman ringing me up from bloody New York or somewhere to say, no, this is not, this is only a random check and you only have to answer the following 20 questions. Now, the same with my websites, to try to get my infrastructure to answer 20 bloody questions. It's taken about a month so far. So the poor buggers who go to PayPal and want to contribute, I think it says... Your contribution or subscription, isn't it, has failed. Well, if I was relying on the few thousand quid that might come through PayPal,
you know, you're like Julian Assange, mate. They're cutting you off. The powers that be are cutting you off from your funding
sources.
Oh,
don't tell me that. I'll think of a conspiracy theory.
So let's get back to this Lego. It's 4.6 metres long by 2.3 metres high. It's currently the largest Lego artwork in Victoria. 170,000 Lego pieces, and it depicts
the Flinders Street Station. And that's where we started out.
$30,000 in Lego pieces alone.
1978, we started on the streets in St Kilda and Flinders Street Station, where street kids were wandering around, and we had identified that there was an underclass in Melbourne society, and they were 11, 12 years of age, and that they were prostitutes, and that they were thieves, and that they were using drugs, of course, and occasional drug couriers, and Melbourne gasped. You could hear it from all the way to the North Pole. How old are they? 11, darling. Oh, my God. Can I have one? Some woman won't take one home or something. And we said, no, darling, they're feral, darling. They've turned feral. You don't want one of these. So we were then dedicated our bloody lives. That's the point of this boy walking around in my house now waiting to go to the clinic for some mental health plan.
Take it away.
And who built this
so
Lego
not,
thing?
Not take him away, just take the bloody dog away. Yeah, but the Lego thing would be... That reminded me, as soon as I saw it, I said, geez, we started there. That's a nice segue into the Father Bob Maguire Foundation.
But who built it?
I knew you were going to ask me then.
You don't know?
Don't know the artist. Don't know the artist.
Well, it's impressive.
See how you become opportunistic after a while. Nobody told me the artist's name. But there he is in the exhibition. What's the exhibition called?
The exhibition's got
a name, comrade.
The Art of Brick.
Yeah, Art of Brick exhibition.
There you go.
So there's lots more things.
Oh my God! Who there's up on your website? There's,
but you're
there's...
saying the power of the internet is that you're saying that in fact more comrades from the internet decided to bid. That's the strength of using the medium where we're not using it. And you know this better than I do, that over the years I have never used the medium of the internet very well. We're all right in newspapers and television and that kind of, you know, three-dimensional thing, but by God, we're not too bloody good on the internet. And you've always said this. I remember the first time I met you, you kept telling me, listen, you've got a global goddamn market.
And now you have 45,000 followers on Twitter. How many people turn up to your services on a Sunday morning?
300.
And you got 45,000 people listening to you on Twitter.
Yes, and if we get wiped out here, we'll start the Parish Without Borders.
By the way, I had the doctors Without Borders come and see me a couple of weeks ago to extract some funds from me, and I was like,
"You want to send that? Send it." It's all right. Somebody wants to send it over me back.
Okay, last couple of quick questions, Troy Davis.
Yes, yes. Who?
Troy Davis.
Oh yeah, that's sad. I decided to repeat that on my thing simply because, not because of the Troy Davis case itself, because everybody knows that you can be seduced. It's a fax machine in the background. Everybody knows that's the fax machine. Everybody knows that you can be seduced by some cause that, about which you do not know the whole case. But I took a punt on the stand that maybe at least this would raise awareness about the futility and the immorality of capital punishment, whether it's in the state of Georgia or whether it's in the state of Victoria. Because they go that way. They're heading that way, you see. I mean, the right wing has got to head that way because it hasn't got the energy, intellectual or otherwise, and it hasn't got the single-mindedness or the compassion to pursue a clinical course that would work out why so many crimes of violence are being committed. I think it's heading that way. The US of A teaches us all these things. The US of A teaches us, yeah, look, if what's his name, Bin Laden, is such a criminal, we have to hunt him down. Now we've hunted him down, found out where he is. Now we have to kill him. They're all talking killing. Hunt down your opponent and kill him. It's the final solution. Now that's an expression of opinion that lurks in the dark side of our lovely human society's heart. Send the drone. Send the bloody drone out. Hunt down the trafficker. I mean, I'm a bit inclined myself after years in this place and seeing so many people have been killed by the drug over 40 years. I get a bit red-necked every now and again to say, well, Jesus, if I had a bloody drone, I wouldn't mind going down to the housing ministry area and lobbing a rocket into the drug traffickers' flat. And then you'll say, hang on, there'll be collateral damage. And I'll be so bloody frantic over the whole issue that I'll say, oh, well, you have to you have to crack eggs before you can make an omelette. But that's the worst, me worst time.
Keep Bob on the job so he can lob. That's what the T-shirt will be now. Final thing, and then we've got to go, Bob.
I know nothing about it, Cameron, because if headquarters rings up and says, excuse me, you behind all this, I have to say, behind what?
Think Inc. You did a Think Inc. thing recently with
Mr.
Hitchens.
Mr. Hitchens didn't show.
No, he can't talk.
No, besides can't talk, he was supposed to come by video.
Yeah, but he can't talk. What's he going to do on the video? Hold up pictures?
Well, he's supposed to be next week, or next fortnight, he's supposed to be at the ACS convention down here. They keep saying we've got the big four.
Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Sam and Christopher.
Dickie Dawkins.
And the other, yeah, and there's a fourth.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, the fourth, see? Yeah. So you've got the four. Well, he's supposed to be on that again.
Daniel Dennett.
Yes.
Yes.
And the other person who didn't front either by video was Ayaan Hirsi. What's her name? Ali. She didn't front either. But we had lovely Christina Trad. Is it Rad? The blogger.
I don't know.
Yeah, she was on Q&A last week too. And we had that nice astrophysicist, a big, tall American man. And we had Mr. Shemmer.
Ah, Michael Shemmer.
And we had lovely... and Professor Flannery. And we had lovely Josh Thomas conducting the orchestra.
He conducts an orchestra? The People Orchestra.
Well, I mean...
Yes.
Yeah, no, he was the, what do you call him? The moderator
MC,
or something.
Moderator, yeah. He's a funny young fella.
Yeah,
well, look at you. You're mixing with...
No, I'm sitting, but I said... what am I here for? Because I started to talk about imagination and about feelings and emotions, and you see, I heard hissing noises coming from the other members of the panel. I thought, Jesus, I'll fall into a hotbed of bloody of vampires or something. Because they were so, I can understand it, they were so, I felt embarrassed in case I was making a total and permanent fool of myself. Mm. Talking about maybe, ladies and gentlemen, there's another side of humanity, which is feelings and emotions. Whereas this whole conference was on, listen, girls and boys, we better stick to the evolution of the human. Yes!
I'm looking at all the profile shots of the speakers, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Hitchens, Flannery. They're looking serious. You have got your fingers in your ears and you're pulling a face.
Oh, that's awful. Well, there you are. That's your conspiracy theory.
And it
that's
has
the only
you,
photo.
It has you down.
They could have picked up.
Your occupation as priest/radio host.
Yeah, imagine.
Not activist.
Not an activist who raises people from the dead.
No.
Or helps the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. None of that. You know what I mean? He's an activist and he's a bloody clown with saffron.
A clown, yeah. All right, Father Bob.
Righto. Well, listen, I'm very grateful to you, sir, and if you have a spare minute while you're travelling, you know, through the galaxy, well, then let's try to work out how we can get this bloody IT component going before it's too late.
Well, we'll...
Even if it costs us money.
I'll shoot you an email about what we can do there. You can tell me all your problems and we'll figure out how to fix it. Thank you, Father Bob. Keep doing the good work.
Bye-bye, comrade.
Don't leave the little boys alone. Cheers.
Yeah, and don't forget the Lego.
The Lego.
Play with the Lego. Ta-da.
Oh.